All right, what's up, y'all, and welcome back to Dad Needs to Talk. I'm your host, Robert, and today I am joined by my homies, Rob J and Scuba Steve. What's up, y'all?
What's going on? I always love coming on here because, you know, Rob, it just works, bro. It just works.
The two Rob crew.
Exactly. And so today we are here for a very, very fun discussion about a show called The Bear. Now, The Bear is a TV show. It is streaming on Hulu. It is 18 episodes total. It was 8 episodes season 1, 10 episodes season 2, and the episodes vary roughly between like 40 minutes to an hour roughly. With them and stuff. It's a super new show because season one was last year, 2022, and then season two just aired in the last couple of weeks. And so just double checking, I think all three of us just watched this for the series for the first time this last couple of weeks, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah, because I saw one of my mutuals on Twitter had posted about it or whatever, and she was all hype about it or whatever, and me and her, we all have those people that we follow, including each other, to where it's like, hold on, okay, if that person is talking about this show or whatever,
facts,
we have similar tastes, let me go take a look and see what's going on over there.
Yep.
And so, especially when it's something like this, to where it's like, there's a lot of hype behind it from people that I know, but I've never even heard of this show beforehand.
Mm.
And so I guess up top, I kind of give a little bit of a general setup and stuff for the show. And I guess I'll go and say this as well for listeners and watchers. As usual here on Dennis to Talk, we start off the conversation with spoiler free, just general thoughts. And then I always let y'all know when we're going to dive into spoilers and stuff. That way, if you haven't watched it or whatever, you can pause and come back later, because when we dive into spoilers, we're going to dive into spoilers. But as far as the show itself, so the basic setup for the show, without going into too spoiler or whatever, is that basically we have our main character, Carmi, who... I'll go and mention this part because it's pretty much in the synopsis, whatever. His brother ends up passing, and so he comes back home to basically run his brother / his family's restaurant. And so the show is kind of like a journey of the brother and a couple other new people coming into this already well-established restaurant with a crew and stuff that's already been kind of going and operating for a while. And so you kind of have this mixture of seeing how this restaurant is ran, or like going through the perspectives of how these characters deal with these changes and stuff, whatever, for the restaurant side, but also getting to see the human side of things, which was something I didn't expect going into this, whatever, because it's like okay, something about some chefs and cooking or whatever, but we get so many deep conversations and moments and stuff where we actually get to see the behind the scenes of not only of how the restaurant and stuff is ran, but also of these various characters' lives and stuff. And so that is just kind of a high level kind of like basic setup for what the show and stuff is about. And I guess last point I'll mention too is that Carmi, he left home years ago, went off, became a world renowned chef, and then coming back to his small kind of rinky dink family restaurant.
Diner.
Yeah.
And so, for sure.
And so kind of having those parallels of going from like this super high class functioning system to they hanging on by literal duct tape and threads and stuff. So, but enough of me rambling up top, whatever. Hold on. All right. So start off with, actually, you know what? I want to go to Steve first, because obviously, like, I want to hear kind of like your general spoiler-free thoughts. And I also want to mention, or one of the other reasons why it's cool that you are here is that you also have experience being a chef as well. So I definitely want to kind of hear your input from that side of things too, whatever. But yeah, go ahead and, you know, let me know what you thought of the show and stuff. So,
I've heard of this show, because when I used to drive my kids to school, like in the morning time, the little radio commercial used to always play the bear or whatever. So I intended on watching the first season when it was out, but I didn't know the second season had already even came out until Rob was tweeting about it on the timeline. And I was like, dang, I was like, I'm that far behind? But like, for me, this show was like really good. And it was like some of the things that they touch on and stuff like that, like from the perspective of a chef, it's a different feel than what y'all might have gotten in that experience and stuff like that. So I really appreciated those little bites and stuff like that they give you and stuff. Overall, this show was really, really good. Like the character development, watching characters that, you know what I'm saying, pretty much seemed like they didn't care about their job, turn into like really.
Yeah.
Just like from that, having that experience, you know what I'm saying? And like those little tidbits and stuff like that they kind of like throw in there, just seeing people in cook whites and things like that. Like there was like a scene like towards the end of the second season where the sous chef, the head sous chef, she kind of had like that little stain on her shirt. He kind of like looks at it a little bit and she's like, I mean, I cleaned it. But it's just like, you would only understand like if you got cook whites, because no matter how much you clean some of them clothes, you just can't get some of them stains is just there. Yeah. And you just gotta buy new cook whites. Like this just something that you have to do, because, and it's one of them things where, like, you know, cook whites, you wear white to show that you're clean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you come to shift, you don't wanna be dirty. So if you wear like black or something, you can kinda like hide certain stains, stuff like that. So you always wear cook whites. Yeah, you always wear cook whites to show that you're clean before every shift. Because cleanliness, you know, in a restaurant and stuff like that. But just like those little, like small nuances that they give you, and it feel like it's just there for like people that practice culinary and things like that.
Yeah.
So I really, really appreciated the show.
Yeah. A lot. All right. And you, Rob J.
Man. Yo, this show is so fire. I heard about it, like, cause I've heard about it for like, I think, cause you said it came out last year, right? Yeah. So like I've heard people talk about it, people say it's good and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, like I just put that in the in the back of my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But actually, just watching this show and just going through this journey with these characters, there's characters that I hated, but then I loved. And then, bro, this show is just incredible, man. It's literally one of the best shows that I've ever seen. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now.
Yeah.
But, man, like, the character, the main thing for me, the character development and the character growth.
Yeah.
Those two things right there are just chef's kiss.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But I just really, really enjoyed the show. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw me going with my thread, just going through all of the different emotions and stuff like that. I'm literally telling, like, now I'm telling all of my friends, all of my people, watch The Bear. I'm telling the if I'm like at the store or something, I'm tapping just a random person. Hey, you need to be watching The Bear, please. I'm trying to tell as many people as possible to watch this show. It is so incredible. I'm just really glad and thankful that I started it. And like I said, just like you said, Rob, it's a really quick binge. The first season is just 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Ran through that first season immediately.
It was really quick. But yeah, man, this show is really incredible, and it's really special for real.
Yeah, and honestly, as quick as that first season went and how that first season ended, I'm actually glad I didn't come to it until now.
Right.
Because like,
I would have been heated.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, it just ended there?
For sure.
Yeah, so sometimes it kind of pays off coming to shows and stuff a little bit later than everybody else, because
for sure,
because some shows do pretty good about where they end off a season, and some shows it's just like, all right, somebody just hit the pause button during production. It was like, whoa,
you're like, what's going? Yeah, you're like, what's going on?
Why would you do that?
Next season now? Yeah, why would you do that? Why? Yeah. For sure.
Exactly. So I think listeners, y'all kind of getting a pretty good idea of how we feel about it. Like I said, in a spoiler-free sense, like both Steve and Rob J said, is like tons of great character development, character moments, a lot of which I can't wait to get into in a second. But like I said up top, for sure, go watch The Bear. It is on Hulu, 18 episodes total. I hope we don't have to wait too long. Hopefully, hey, if season one was last year, season two this year, hopefully maybe we might get season three next year. Fingers crossed. I don't know.
With
the writer's strike.
Exactly. Strike going on right now. Exactly. Pay the writers, please.
Yes. So, but all in all, yeah, go watch The Bear and hit us up. Let us know what y'all thought of the show. But now we're about to transition into some spoiler talk. So, spoilers in a few seconds. But I'm gonna pause real quick. One. All right. So. All right. So after a brief vast intermission, so we just get ready to dive into some of these spoilers. So. I honestly don't even know
where
to start with this, but I guess I'll say this, and I should probably mention this in the spoiler free part, but oh well. But something else that was unexpected with this show was the level of stress.
Bro, Rob, I'm sorry to cut you off.
I was just gonna say, like, yeah, man, just like, but between both the in the kitchen stuff and then what some of these characters are going through in their personal lives, I am like, it's all very relatable, because like, because even though I haven't, you know, been like a chef or whatever, I did do fast food for a little bit, but also just on the customer service side of things too or whatever, was very relatable on that front and stuff. But anyway, go ahead, Rob.
No, bro, it's chaos. The first episode, I probably say like the first like 15 or like, yeah, the first 15 minutes, chaos in the kitchen, outside the kitchen, everywhere. It's just chaos. That's why, Rob, on Twitter, I told you, make sure you watch that first. Make sure you have your subtitles on for sure, because you need them subtitles on, because you need to hear what everybody is saying, the names of these different characters that's going on. It was just a lot. But in a way, it was like artistic, it was like, it was dope in a way. Like, I didn't feel like it was bad or anything.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, so they're going from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, and it just kept on going like nonstop. And then like, I didn't have any problems with that. It was dope. I was like, yo, there's so much going on, but they did it in a way that was so good.
Yeah, like, it represents the pace of the kitchen. Like, literally, that's how fast we be back there moving, like how everything
for real.
Yeah, bro, like you turn around for a second, and if you turn around for too long, you come back and somebody done took your cutting board. Or like stuff like that was like real. Like, it's like, bro, why would you take my cutting board? Oh, I didn't think nobody was using it, bro. I turned around. I didn't even walk away. Like, that's just how, but everybody moving so fast, you don't even notice that somebody is using that cutting board because
wasn't
nobody on it at that moment, so you just snatch it. Like, that, and that's, it was really real the way that how all that stuff was going on and how fast everything was moving.
Yeah, and I want to say real quick because one big consistent theme that both applied in the kitchen stuff as well as in the outside stuff with these people is communication.
That's literally what I was about to say. That back corner front and stuff like that. That's literally what I was finna say, because it was just so much going on at once. Back corner. I'm like, oh snap.
Yeah.
Like if y'all go to a Red Lobster or something like that, just a regular restaurant, listen to them, like start paying attention and listen to the kitchen back there. That's how they be. They be like corner, and they say that because you've got to tell people you're coming around the corner.
Yeah.
Because if not, I'm carrying food on a tray. We crash into each other.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to say corner, supposed to say knife, and like, you know what I'm saying, because you got a knife in your hand, but your knife always supposed to be pointing at the ground. So when she stabbed him.
She stabbed him in the butt.
Bro. I was like, bro, what? I was like, but like, just like little stuff like that, you have to say it. Like, you know, it's important. I need hands because you need runners.
Oh, your hands. Like, yeah, they said that too.
I need somebody to run this food to this table. If not, it's going to be in the window and it's going to die. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I need runners. Like, and that expo line, like, is for real. Like that shit is for real. I don't know if we just talking about the season or if we just talking about certain things, but
one thing I was gonna add on with like you said, like this show definitely gonna make me more conscious of stuff when I do go to the next time I do go to a restaurant, of paying attention to those little things, because it kind of reminds me in the way of like how, you know, most listeners, if y'all been listening to the show for a while, y'all know I work in IT. Specifically, now I work in IT within the medical field. So, you know, everywhere I go, even when I go to like fast food restaurants, if I go to the hospital or whatever, I'm always looking at like, oh, what type of monitors they got, what type of computers they got, and like just little gadgets, even like the credit card machines or whatever, all that stuff, because that stuff I deal with in my day-to-day or whatever. So, you know, I'll be somewhere and I kind of be noticing their technologies and how they have stuff set up, and sometimes I'll be like, man, that is very dumb, whoever set this up. You know, and stuff where it's like, who is y'all IT department or whatever, because y'all could have done this more efficiently or whatever. And so, like I said, that's watching this show is going to come make me more aware of those things or whatever. Which I've always kind of been like appreciative of certain aspects of stuff like that, because like I said, even though I haven't been in that level, I worked fast food for a little bit, but like I said, I've done, you know, a decade plus of just customer service. So you know, little things like that you've experienced yourself, you kind of give grace to, because it's like, hey man, hey, I understand, you cool, I'm not tripping or whatever, because I know what it's like being on the other side. So, but but one of the things I kind of want to touch on before I forget, just with the chaos and stuff, whatever, I have to talk about part of that, the last episode of season two. Like, things were looking good. Things was looking good. And then that moment when, you know, of course, when Carmen got locked in the freezer or whatever, that was whatever. But hey, the team coming together, we getting stuff done, knocking tickets out or whatever. And then it's like, cool, we've cleared out the tickets. But then the moment when Sydney realizes that the thing was out of the printer paper, and you hear the sound going, meaning that there's still orders that's been coming, but they don't know because there's no receipts being printed. And she just kind of just walked away, just like, hey, I'm just going to step out, because it's like, it's they're effed at that point. Because it's like, it's like, okay, we went through hell and back, knocked these orders out or whatever, and now we think, okay, we got everything under control. But a simple thing like your printer ran out of paper, and I've been there before.
That's another thing where you kind of like be on top of people that's working there, because those tickets, they come out white, but then after a certain round, it's like a pink streak in the ticket that lets you know it's getting low on paper.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Okay. And so, if the ticket is pink or whatever, and it start coming out, let's say whoever is over that, you know what I'm saying, area, whichever cook is, he'll tell you, or whoever is like the lead chef, he'll tell you, hey, somebody changed my paper, and he'll walk out the kitchen. If he come back in that kitchen and see another pink ticket in there, he gonna go off because he told you to do it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody do it. He don't care who do it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you don't change that, like, that could be a big issue.
So I just had to mention that part, because before I forgot about just watching just the stress come over her face and stuff. So so where I kind of want to take the conversation next, because we talked about it earlier, was the characters and stuff. And so, like, a lot of people on this cast, some of them I hadn't really ever seen in too much before. Of course, like once we got to the second season, and specifically that I think, what was it, episode 6, that very big
episode 6.
So when you started seeing like Bob Odenkirk and
John Berthold,
Jamie Lee Curtis. Thank you. That's who now I was trying to name, Jamie Lee Curtis, and like those like big names. I'm like, okay, of course. But a lot of these people, even I hadn't really ever seen them in much before, they all did a phenomenal job and acting, bro.
Putting on a clinic, bro.
Yes. So I guess I kind of want to start this off with some of our kind of like standout characters and stuff. And so I'll kind of start off with, I think both of y'all had said it earlier, with like characters that we all kind of hated or disliked at first, and they kind of came around on. One of the first ones for me that kind of came around on was Tina.
Bro, I despised her so much.
She wouldn't have made it through a shift. If I was over that kitchen, bro, she'd out. Like,
she was pissing me off, bro.
Yeah, because like,
she don't speak English and all this stuff, bro. I would have came in there day one. I would have been like, all right, this is what we got to do, this, that. And she would have been acting like that. I would have been like, all right, let me go ahead and show you. I'm going to show the whole restaurant y'all not going to play with me.
Yeah.
Fuck out. Yeah. And that just would have been what it would.
Yeah. Like, and so she was definitely one of the first characters that, like we all just said, like, every time she came up or that, I was like, man, she about to start some mess. I can remember when she when she turned up the temperature on that pot or whatever that was on the stove, just like purposely like sabotage and stuff, whatever. It's like Steve, I'm like, all right, you gotta go. But then like seeing her slow shift over the course of the two seasons and stuff, to where it was like where her and Sydney kind of started to kind of find a mutual understanding, to when, you know, she kind of got like promoted to like more of a lead, to where they sent her off to go do the training and stuff, whatever. And then I loved that episode where she went and did the karaoke and stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she was singing and stuff, and then her kind of leading the charge of the next new recruits and stuff, whatever. Just like her whole arc, I was like, okay, that is what this show is taking these characters and just showing that there are multiple sides to these people, and that, yeah, you know, some of these characters might suck, you know, or seemingly suck, whatever, but sometimes some of them have their own personal baggage that they're dealing with, stuff that they're going through with their families or personal lives or whatever, that, you know, not necessarily excuses their horrible attitudes or whatever, but just kind of gives a little bit better context of like, I still don't like you, or I still didn't like you, but I can kind of see how what you went through in your past, you know, led to you being how you are and stuff now. So, so Rob, who is if you want to expand on that, go ahead.
For me, but, bro. When I tell you, bro, I hated Tina. I'm like, why are you being so petty? Like, what do you gain from this? What's the point? She was just doing like little stuff. I'm like, bro, why?
Yeah.
What's the point? Jeff doing the whole Jeff thing. I'm like, bro, just call him Chef, man. Like, what's the...
just call him
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, she was making me so mad. But then, like, just like you said, Rob, like, bro, her character development, man, was so... Yeah, just when she went out to the club and everything, that was just so great to see. I was like, hold on, she can sing? Okay, now vocals? I see you. But it was really dope to see her character. And even with the knife.
Yeah.
The knife, that was really, that whole thing was really, was super dope to me too. I was like, oh wow. So
yeah,
Carmi really believes in her, and it's your knife. So that was dope to see, like, when it comes to Tina. But one of my favorite characters in the show was the uncle. Uncle Jeff, I think. Now, for those who know me, and I think I talked about this the last time that I was on this podcast, he plays Dr. Charles in Chicago Med. Mm. Now, Chicago, he's like a huge character in that show. One of my favorite characters in all of like the Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him in this role, it was like, it was funny to see, because bro, I've never heard him like say like a bad word, cuss, anything. It was so funny to see. Bro, I was rolling. I was like, wow. But like, his character to me was like super dope. Yeah. Especially in the sixth episode in season two, it seemed like he had like a really like good relationship with the mom. I was like, okay, what's going on here? But so that's probably like one of my like favorite characters that's not like, you know, Sid or like, or anybody else like that.
What about you, Steve?
I got two that I really like, really, really like. I really like Fact
was so funny, bro.
they whole family was crazy.
Yeah,
he's funny, but then he's like, I'm maintenance, but he also wanted to have that opportunity to be a cook and stuff like that. And just watching him, like, really, really pursue that. And then he finally, like, you know what I'm saying, talked him into letting him have those type of moments and stuff like that. I really thought that was dope. Just watching his grind from him, like, really, you know what I'm saying, I'm still maintenance. Because even at the end, he was like, you got a screwdriver? He said, it looked like I got a screwdriver. And then he pulled it out. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, and he put it out of the pocket.
I thought that was cool. But it was like where he was like, I'm taking my role serious. You know, I'm being taken more serious in my role as a, I guess, a management position or a chef position. But also, I'm still true to that core of the maintenance and stuff like that. And you got people like that for real at the restaurants too, like that have different things that they can do outside of cooking. Yeah. And then the manager will be doing something, and then they'll just out of nowhere start fixing something. Be like, I didn't know you knew
like,
that.
Wait, what? Like,
you know what I'm saying? Because all you ever see them is in uniform cooking. So when they start doing stuff, you're like, oh, snap, you guys have other skills in life. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was cool. And then I like Marcus a lot, too.
Yeah.
Bro, Marcus was incredible.
Yeah, Marcus the baker, you know what I'm saying? And then he just fall in love with that craft of, like, really, really, like, enjoying baking and stuff like that. I actually was really, really mad at Carmi when he knocked that fucking donut out of his hand.
Yeah.
I was like,
nah, bro.
I get it. Like, it's a rush and stuff like that.
Mark was tweaking, bro. Like, because, like, at that point, I'm like, bro, you need to, like, focus on your job. You keep trying to focus on this one little thing.
On the donuts.
The donut.
I finally got it.
I was like, bro, what?
I was so mad. I was mad at Kyrie because he was so happy and proud of what he did. But he definitely, like, see it screwed that whole situation up, though, by not doing the to-go things or whatever.
The to-go, and, bro.
Yeah. Like, she screwed that whole situation up. And I get it. Like, he was tricked. He was tweaking. He was doing too much, how angry he was. But come on, bro. Don't walk out on me on this shit. Yeah. Like, you can leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You can leave once we fucking get out of the weeds. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then we back into, like, you know what I'm saying, regular thing. Now you be like, hey, I don't like the way you talk to people. I'm out. You know what I'm saying? But when, especially when you are the cause of all of this. For you to walk, yes, for you to walk out on that ship, I was like, she couldn't have came back.
That is y'all too. I'm like, yo.
Did not come back, bro.
You turned the pre-orders on. Why? No, you weren't supposed to do that.
But that whole moment was just so funny because he just kind of walked up. He was like, I'm done. He was like, Carmen basically was like, the F is this? Like, are you serious? get that out of my face, man. But I also loved when he got to go to Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like
that was incredible too.
Like him getting this fresh experience of going to a new country, living on this boat or whatever, and then and then training with that one chef or whatever.
Will Poulter.
Yeah, and like hearing their conversations and stuff was just so dope and so cool to see. So another character, of course, we gotta talk about Richie, aka Cousin.
He would have had to get out too. Like that first episode, I would have put my foot down. Two people would have been fired. That first episode, I'd have been like, bro. Like, my restaurant down too? Oh yeah, you fine.
Man. Cause I honestly didn't think he was gonna make it because his character development came in, you know, last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. You know, like we thinking like, oh man, I ain't no hope for this dude, you know, and especially that moment where you know, his ex or whatever kind of was like, hey, I'm about to get married and all this stuff, whatever. But it was dope him getting to go and train. Like a lot of the crew members, a lot of their growth came when they got kind of sent away to do this, their various training arcs and stuff, whatever, so to speak. But
they got to see
it
on a different level of like what they could, what I think what it was Carmi was showing them his vision of like, this is what I want to do. So then once they went to those training, they saw how big it could be for them or whatever. Like, they like, okay, this is actually like something, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and you kind of, even though you are on a lower scale in a sense, like at a diner and stuff like that, you still kind of understand certain things and you like, oh, okay. Like, I know how to do this. And if I did it in another way, it could be like this and stuff like that. So I really appreciated like watching them go train at different locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, cause like with Richie, man, like they pretty much pulled him kicking and screaming throughout the whole season. Cause every time they tried to make a small change or tweak, he was like, nah, this isn't how we've been doing it, and y'all kids trying to come in here and, you know, messing up the process or whatever he's saying or whatever he was saying. But like you said, Steve, like him kind of getting put into the situation, this training or whatever, where he thought that he got sent there as punishment, as like, oh, they just trying to get me out the way while they working and renovating the restaurant or whatever. And it's like, no, Carmi sent you here because he believes in you. He sees your potential. Mm-hmm. And I just loved like seeing that slow shift over those days. And it's kind of crazy that happened over a week.
Yeah. That was crazy.
He had that anime level training arc, like we gonna put you on a accelerated plan.
Literally,
and stuff. Bro. So, but yeah, it was just very dope to see him picking up the tips and tricks, but also he still kind of got to keep some of his own little personality in there with how he did stuff, but kind of a little bit more toned down, a little bit more refined. And I loved how he embraced wearing the suit. The suit was kind of like his symbol of like, hey, I love wearing this suit. And when he was like, it makes me feel good or whatever, you know, it's kind of like the kind of like the black man's equivalent of getting a haircut. You know,
literally, bro. That's a perfect analogy, bro.
It makes that's me think a perfect of, analogy. How I Met Your Mother when he'd be like, suit up.
Suit no. up.
And y'all always was like, suit
literally.
Up.
Yeah. Literally, bro. Yeah. But yeah, nah, Rob, you spitting, bro. Richie, man, his character development. Because, of course, bro, I think whoever watched that first season is just like, yo, I hate him. I don't want anything to do with him. He's the worst. Like, but bro, just
kept putting him in worse and worse situations.
Yes, bro. But like, bro, that seventh episode in season two, like that whole episode was just, oh my God. It was just incredible. It was amazing to see his growth. And I didn't think that he could like change and become a much better person, but I mean, he did, and it was really dope to see that part about like his ex calling him on the phone.
Yeah,
I was like, no, because like she was like, yo, I have something that I have to tell you. I'm thinking, oh snap, is this something bad? Like, did somebody die? Like, what happened? But she got proposed to, and I was like, dang.
It could throw you off your game too. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you're having a great week and then something like that happened, then you come to work into a stressful environment, that could
throw you. Bro, literally, bro. So I was
And I think that played a part into that final conversation with him and Carmi, when Carmi had said over, he said what he said about his girlfriend, and then she walks away, and then he like, yo, what did you say to her? You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, well, like, I know what it's like to lose somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That you really care about and you fumble in the bag. You know what I'm saying? Just because. Yeah. So I think that played a part into that conversation overall as well.
Yeah, which of course, speaking of which, we of course got to touch on Carmi and stuff too. And that situation too with him getting a girlfriend and stuff too, because like, because that was something I wasn't expecting, but Part of me also felt like he needed something to happen to kind of pull him out of the restaurant a little bit, because it was like he was just living and breathing that restaurant, which it just fully just consumed him to where like he had nothing else, no other personality trait aside from this restaurant and trying to fix it. And so him kind of more or less like rekindling, it's not even rekindling because they never had nothing to begin with, but basically running into somebody from back in the day, having a conversation of like, hey, I actually, you know, her being like, hey, I actually really liked you, and you know, all that stuff, whatever. So it was kind of dope him finally having something and someone outside of the restaurant and that crew or whatever. What did y'all think of Carmi as a whole and stuff, his character and stuff throughout the show?
I really liked this. I liked him because he was coming up from a different fine dining experience and then going back into like a screwed up situation.
Best restaurant in the world, by the way. This is the best restaurant in the whole world.
Yeah, and then he's going back to like try to clean up this mess of a restaurant and try to make it, you know, something to be proud of and stuff like that. But then he's also dealing with the stress of toxic management at his other restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So that stuff is like rubbing off on him as he's trying to manage his restaurant. Yeah. And I think that's just watching him try to like, and still, like, I mean, he still hasn't fully figured it out. but it's just like him trying to like take the gas, take his foot off the gas of like being that asshole manager. You know what I'm saying? Because like every now and then you can see he's trying to be like, nah, let me be understanding. Like when he gave Tina the knife with Sydney, when he was like, I think this is a good idea or something like that.
Yeah.
Like little things like that where he still sees it, but then every now and then whenever the pressure is on, the anxiety is on, he reverts back to that like jerk manager, you know what I'm saying, that he despises himself, that he keeps playing back in his head of why you so slow and all this other stuff. Like he keeps having those moments and it's just like it's rubbed off on him so much because he's been in the number one restaurant in the world. But you don't have to be that type of person. And I think he's kind of like still trying to figure that out. He's in therapy in those little group sessions and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So he's still trying to figure it out. And then on top of that, dealing with the stress of your brother, you know what I'm saying, which you felt like your brother didn't care about you, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just a lot, you know? So I think that that's really a lot going on with that character, with Carmi or whatever. He's still got a lot more character development to go because even in the freezer, it was like, he was just like
that was fire though. Yeah,
like I feel, no, that scene with him and his cousin arguing, and it was like that mode was fire.
Yeah, that was gas. I feel okay. Like, all right, what Steve said, all of that is true. But going back to Claire, that was his girlfriend.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of them together. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, bro, because she was throwing him off of his game, low key. Like there was so much things that he had to do. He had to go with Sid to what was it called?
Go check out different
taste testing. That's what it was. Like, bro, you were supposed to call the freaking refrigerator guy, and as soon as because that scene was fire too. As soon as he was about to call him, she. As Carmen was about to press call, like literally when he was about to press the button, there's the girl calling him. So I'm like, bro, Claire like threw him off of his game. Like he wasn't focused, and I was just like, bro, like I just didn't like them together. Like as a whole, I'm not gonna lie. I was just like, bro, what is she doing, man? Like he has so many things that he has to do, and you're just here just throwing everything off. So I was just like, dang.
Sometimes love be like that. It'll throw you in the fire.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I still enjoyed her because, like, but, I do get what you're saying, Rob, but, you know, it is also kind of like that thing of, like, because they're probably what, maybe late 20s, we would think, maybe.
Probably about 28, because I think
early 30s.
Yeah, Sydney is 28.
Okay.
Michelle.
Okay.
So there's a chance they might be maybe knocking into like early 30s, maybe like with Carmi and cousin and people like those two, whatever. They probably in they early 30s or whatever, something like that potentially. Actually though Richie, he might even be older, because
he's definitely older.
Yeah, so but going back with the Claire stuff, you know, it is also probably kind of tough coming into that situation from the other side, to where it's like, okay, you run into this person that you had a crush on back in the day when you were in school. And so it's like, you know, she also has a very stressful job working in the operating rooms and stuff.
The hospital. Yeah.
And so her, it's maybe, you know, like for her, she kind of has a little bit more separation potentially to her, but also it seems like she's been in her career a little bit more established than him, kind of, like we said, in the midst of all this chaos or whatever. And so, you know, her not fully understanding, and then him not having the proper vocabulary to express what he's feeling and what he's going through, whatever, because as we saw, which we'll probably touch on in a second, that episode 6 of season 2, like, how much trauma this dude got, you know.
Bro.
It is like, you know, it's a tough situation on both sides to kind of be unfortunately with that. And real quick, I want to just shout out real quick to, because I know we're not gonna go through every single character, but of course we gotta touch on Sydney. She is super dope. I'm already looking forward to checking out more stuff with her, because finding out that she, I don't know who, but I know she was somebody in Spider-Verse.
The digitalizer, virtual one. Yeah, she's the virtual Spider or whatever. And that.
Yeah.
She's gonna be April O'Neil in the Turtles movie.
Yeah.
She was in Black Mirror.
In that first episode of Black Mirror. Yep.
She's in a lot of stuff. Like, she's coming up real quick.
Yeah.
She going crazy, bro. Bro, she was absolutely incredible in this show, though. Like, loved her from the first season to the second season.
Yeah.
Like, she was just so dope, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Before we go back to Sydney, I forgot to say this about Carmi and how his mind be all over the place. Y'all remember when we was thinking that it was cousin that left those cigarettes on the thing?
It was him the whole time.
Yeah, he didn't even realize it until he went to go smoke a cigarette. And I was like, bro.
He couldn't find a cigarette. She was like, oh, snap, and then, yep.
Yeah, so his mind is always racing and all over the place. So I don't even think it's just the girl that's throwing off.
Just Claire,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's just him in general, just because of all the stress that he's putting himself under with trying to manage a restaurant and then also dealing with the stress of your brother and everything like that.
Right.
And then something that was really cool was the letter that his brother left. And he took the recipe for the spaghetti or whatever and stuff like that. And it was, at first, it, like, you could see it in his face. He was like, I'm thinking that this is going to be a real letter. And you gave me a recipe to the spaghetti that I don't even want to do. But then after a while, it kind of like, it was this realization of like, okay, you know what I'm saying? He didn't seem as pissed as when he first opened the letter. Because at first he was shaking, like, what the heck? Like, I'm thinking he wrote me a goodbye letter. And it's just the recipe for the spaghetti, and then it's just kind of like he cooled down for a second. I like that.
That whole part within itself was just so wild, just because it's like, you know, the uncle or Uncle Jimmy, whatever, was basically like questioning what happened to all the money I gave him, whatever. And then it's like,
they
put all these thousands of dollars in these freaking cans of tomato sauce.
Bro, I was like, what? That scene, I was like, wait, that's why he did that? I'm like, oh my God.
Bro.
It was so crazy.
Bro, they were stuck on that spaghetti, bro. And that, I mean, that might make sense why the cousin was like, nah, we can't take spaghetti off the menu too, because he probably knew. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where the money was and stuff like that. But
whole time.
I'm interested to know more, because we haven't really touched on the outside of that episode 6 of season 2. I want to know more about this family, about the family and stuff like that. Like, I want to know how, or what was the moment when John Bernthal realized that it was too much, or figured out that it was too much, and over the end. I want to know about Jamie Lee Curtis, like, what's going on. Like, I don't know if she got dementia or if it's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, and they kind of like have left it up in the air. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And they go, I was like, there's a lot to go into that. Like, then, like you saying, like, Uncle Jimmy seems to be a fan of her and all that other stuff. Because I could have sworn that they kissed or something like that. And I don't know if it's just because it's Italian.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or
I was like, hold on.
Yeah. Like,
What's going on here?
I was like, I don't know if it's Italian or if he messed with his, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
hey.
because I think they sister-in-law, so it's not, they not per se family.
Yeah, but still,
I'm like, are you messing with your brother, okay, girl? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is going on with this whole situation?
Yeah.
There's so much that I want to know with that whole thing.
Yeah, because like, and I guess we kind of touch on that too, like it just more with that family and with that episode six, because honestly the way that episode ended with her car crashing through the house, whatever,
bro,
I thought that was implying that she died there, and so
I did too.
Yeah, so like in those final episode or whatever, when it was like, no, I invited, or the final couple episodes when it was like, oh, we invited mom, I was like, oh wait, she's still around. I thought that she was done.
No, because I think in the first episode, what's his sister's name?
I can't remember her name.
Sugar.
Yeah.
She goes in the first episode. She goes to Carmen and was like, "Yo, when was the last time you like talked to mom?" So
okay,
I guess yeah. So I guess that's something there to True. Like tell that like that she was still alive. So I was like, okay.
Well, I was thinking she was like in a retirement home or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that situation with that crash was like when they decided we need to do something with her. She can't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I was thinking. But then when she, that was a dope, like it was a real powerful moment when she shows up. And then the son-in-law comes out there and he's talking to her, and he ends up going back inside to talk to his wife. And he kind of just like, you know what I'm saying? I love you and all this other. It was like, it was powerful, bro.
No, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
Nah, you good. I was about to say, I know like he's supposed to be that character where they kind of like hate him in the family and stuff like that. But I was all like, bro, seeing that he got to like kind of hold stuff together in that sense, like,
yeah,
that was like really powerful.
Bro, when I tell you, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was gonna just add real quick, just on that part of when he slipped up and mentioned about the baby. It was like,
yeah, was like, oh my god.
It was like, crap.
The fact that she didn't tell her. I was like, wait, I thought you had like a good. I don't know. I was like,
Though, part of me was also feeling like, maybe she was maybe planning on telling her when she came to the restaurant too. Maybe that might have been a good thing. Of like, hey, remember this restaurant that you bought back in the day, and everything has happened through it or whatever. Hey, Carmi, we all kind of came together, fixed it up. So, and also, this is happening, a baby, da 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 da. So, but my bad, Rob. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, bro, that was probably one of the best episodes I've ever seen in any television. I'm gonna say it's the second best episode I've ever seen in my entire life. I was just hooked like the whole time. I just was like, bro, what's going on here? It was chaos, it was good, it was just
throw the fork.
Oh my god.
Throw it. He's like, throw it. Throw the fork.
Throw the fork. Throw the fork. Throw it.
I was like, he gonna throw it. I knew he was gonna throw it.
Yeah.
I didn't know like when it finally happened.
Like when he was gonna do it.
He just finally snapped. He was like,
bro, I'm like, man.
The constant buildup of tension that whole episode. Because like all them freaking clocks kept going off, the timers kept going off, and like that constant ringing sound, the arguing, the fussing, everything else in between, and it's like we knew at some point the mom was gonna pop off, but it was just a matter of like when. And I was kind of chuckling like when I finished the episode. I think I might have even posted on Twitter just talking about like, I did not, going into that episode or whatever, hearing from people who had already watched whatever, could not prepare me for what I actually saw. But I kind of made like a little joke tweet about like, I was not expecting to see like a Shane from Walking Dead versus Saul Goodman at Christmas dinner.
that cast was packed, bro. Sarah Paulson, John Mulaney, like they brought everybody into that one episode. I was like, bro, I was like, this is like when, because Rob was telling me, he was like, this is like one of the best episodes. And then when people just kept, every time they show up on screen, I was like, bro, they have everybody in this episode. Episode can't fail regardless because the actors in it is just too good. They probably,
yeah. Well, yeah,
probably always competing with each other to have the best stuff going on. Because like, it's, when even when John Mulaney pops up on the screen, I'm like, bro, they got Chicken Little in here. Like, I was like, they have everybody in here.
Yeah.
Because he plays Chicken Little. He played on Captain Underpants. Like he does really? A lot. Yeah, he does a lot of different like voice acting. He was Big John in the new Puss in Boots movie.
Ah.
He plays a lot of different voices, and then he's a stand-up, he's a stand-up comedian too. But bro, he real good. And then Sarah Paulson from all
she bodied it.
American Horror Stories and stuff like that. Like they have everybody in that episode, and I was like, bro, this is like great. I was like, it was so good. But like you said, with the ringer and the timer and everything like that, I'm like, is she gonna burn something, or is she gonna burn her hand? Like, I didn't know what was gonna go on. And then she was slowly snapping on her daughter. She was like, "Stop asking me if I'm all right."
Like, bro, Sugar literally said at the beginning of the episode, "I'm not gonna ask her. I'm not gonna say it." Mm-hmm. And then the first chance that she get to do it, I'm like, bro.
And she was doing it every time she said something. You okay? Are you okay? Like, bro, leave me alone. Like, like there's nothing else that's going to make her more mad than you just continuing and doing that over and over.
Yeah, the same thing over and over. When you said that you wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think, because, we touched on Odu going over to Copenhagen, big episode 6, the various characters' developments and stuff. I feel like it's something else major I'm forgetting, but.
So, motorcycle just drove by. Yeah. All right. So, with Marcus and Sydney, like, you can see that relationship kind of. And then, like, it looked like they had ended up. Like after they made it awkward, they was ended up like kind of bumping heads for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And then finally Marcus was like, "Are you mad at me?" Like he had to finally like ask her and stuff like that.
In the middle of everything going on.
In the middle of the shift, I was like, "Man, this is gonna be interesting to see how the dynamic play." Because eventually, I mean, I feel like we all know that they're gonna get together eventually.
Yeah.
Do you think so? It seemed like she curved him.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that they're going to get together because I do think she curved them because she's the manager. She's in a management position. She don't want to be. And she, you know, some people don't like to mess with coworkers and stuff. But, like, they always on the phone all day, every day and stuff. Well, on FaceTime and stuff. And it just
That.
But I also felt like she had her and Carmi was kind of like cool and stuff like that, like as best friends. But then underneath the table, I was like,
I want to nip that in the butt. Like, am I the only person who didn't see like them being like romantic with each other? I didn't get those vibes at all, bro.
I didn't get those vibes until they were underneath the table screwing in that leg. And then it kind of like,
even then, I was like, there's just really something close friends.
Something was weird about that. I mean, close friends sometimes, even though they close friends, they just somehow had that awkwardness. And that it could have just been an awkward situation.
Yeah.
But like them being under that table, I was like, something is weird about this. And I think she wanted to tell him about Marcus in that situation. But I was like, she didn't bring it up for a reason because maybe she might, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Carmi don't have a crush on her, but she has a crush on him because of admiration.
You think so?
I don't know. I don't know at all. Oh, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just throwing things out there.
Yeah.
Because she might just have like an admiration for him because he was such a good chef.
That is true, as well as kind of like, I guess kind of like her attitude towards Claire too. I could kind of see like two sides to it, to where like part of me was like, are you jealous? But also part of me also feels like that she also saw, like what Rob said, the distraction. mm-hmm. of like, okay, bro. I see that you're maybe happy, but you know, you're ditching work stuff for the important work stuff for her, so it was some stuff like that. Mentioning the final episode with Marcus and Sydney or whatever. I also laughed at because of all the chaos going on in that moment or whatever, the constant, hey, where's Josh or whatever that dude's name was or whatever, and then finding out like, hey, Marcus, go see if you can find him or whatever, and it's like, are you serious?
Bro, what scared me was when Sydney went out there and Marcus was back there with him. I said, oh, I know damn well Marcus ain't back there doing crack with him. Because I was like, whoa. I was like, yo. I know this is not going to happen. Because she went out there and he was standing behind the gate too. And I was like, oh, no.
My mind didn't go there. Like, my mind thought that old dude might be tweaking and end up hurting somebody when they went out there because of how, because with this show, chaos happens in such a crazy way to where sometimes it's a funny thing or sometimes it's like, ha ha ha, oops, I stabbed you, you know. So I'm like, okay, is old dude gonna be tweaking because his job is now being threatened? He's like, you know what? Well, if y'all gonna fire me, well, I'm gonna kill you.
Something like that.
So, you know,
that because Marcus is like, I think I'm gonna have to fire you.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't even a thing, bro. You smoking crack? Like, you have to.
Because in that scene, that man was cutting them carrots. He was cutting them carrots faster than the mother. I was like, Jesus Christ. This man was going through all of that stuff. Like, he was cutting crap.
You got to go the hard route. You can't go soft. You got to go crack. You can't go cocaine, please. So we can hide it. Like, you're fucking crazy.
It was crazy. Oh. I was like, yo. But then I was like, okay, this makes sense, because, bro, he was cutting everything so quick and so fast. Yeah. Bro, everybody was like, is this normal?
He's
a great worker.
Another kind of funny moment I remember, too, was a little bit earlier on when Carmi and Richie had to kind of, like, keep doing favors to pay back Uncle or whatever when they did the kid's birthday party or whatever.
Oh my God, the birthday party.
And he drugged all the kids,
he
bro.
Put Xanax in the freaking punch, bro. It was kick, bro. The funniest thing, bro. Like, folks would just be talking, having a regular conversation, but then in the background, his kids just knocked out. They slumped, bro.
What was crazy was that, like, Carmi, he was like, I think we accidentally drugged all the kids. But in his head, I think he deep down knew. Bro, why did you put this in the phone?
Well, no, it was Richie, because remember when they got there,
Richie Adam.
Yeah, part of me felt like something bad was gonna happen. I'm glad it wasn't nothing super crazy, but like, part of me thought that maybe, oh, he left a freaking bottle of pills sitting out. Kids gonna be running around. One of the kids gonna get it. You know, because as we've seen, this show can go super dark sometimes whatever. So I'm like, oh man, please don't let a kid die because of his negligence or whatever. But luckily, no, they just got knocked out and went to sleep. Same thing with the brother-in-law or whatever, his doofus butt. Fell asleep and they had to give him a car ride home.
Pete, I think.
Pete. Yeah, his name was Pete. He's like, thanks guys for making me feel like part of the family or whatever he said.
Bro, like, he's like the Jerry of this show.
Meg
from Family Guy, Jerry from Rick and Morty. Like, they always got that one character that everybody hates. What was the Toby from The Office? He's the character that they all hate. And it's like, bro, why? Another was funny was when Esther was like telling Carmi that she was pregnant, and then the wall fell.
Oh,
So the wall feels like everybody heard it. He's like, congratulations. Yeah.
I knew it. Dog. Yeah.
A character that we didn't really touch on, I don't even know his name. I think he's like African.
The older man.
Ibra.
Yeah. So with that character, I wish we could get like a deeper dive into him a little bit, because like he's been there since episode one, and I feel like we should get a deeper dive into him, but they haven't really given us much outside of like him like getting better at reading and things of that nature. So I would actually like a deeper dive into him, and I know him and Tina kind of like have like a good relationship and stuff like that.
They were close, bro. That man, he went to school. I was like, bro, I was rooting for him. I was like, you got it. I said, please do not give up. And he dipped. He was like, forget this. But it was, but like I said, it was dope in season two. Mans went on YouTube University, and then he just learned how to do all the other stuff, which was super dope. It was really cool to see.
I wouldn't be surprised because of how we've seen of how they did the characters through these first two seasons of maybe him and some of the other ones get their time to shine
in season three
because I'm pretty sure, I don't know about y'all, but I felt that same way about Marcus after season one, where I'm like, okay, we didn't really get to learn much. And then they was like, all right, well, y'all gonna learn. Start the freaking next season with the mom in the hospital, and I'm like, whoa, okay, I wanted to learn, but
bro, that's a good point. And then speaking of that, in the season two finale, his phone, his mom passed away. Probably she was trying to. Yeah, man, that was super sad, bro.
Yeah, because during the chaos, his phone got knocked off. And then, like you said, it's like all the missed calls, and then the text is like, hey, answer, it's about your mom, or whatever. And it's like, ah, come on. Which now that I think about it.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was about to say, like, if, hopefully it's not bad news, but it's like, either way, it just dawned on me, they bookmarked the season with, starting off with one of the first shots of season two was the mom in the hospital bed, and then one of the last shots we see is the missed calls and stuff, whatever. So I'm like, oh wow, why y'all bookmark the season?
Yeah, facts.
They were saying that she could die at any moment, and they said it's been 4 years. Yeah. So that's what you could be, you know what I'm saying, to still live after 4 years when they say you could die at any moment is like.
Or she might have made like it might have been something good. They're like, yo, so that's what I'm thinking.
I hope.
Maybe. I definitely hope so, because that I was like, bro, he got all of these missed calls, missed text messages. Yeah. I'm like, no. But then, I literally just thought of it. It was probably something good. They're like, yo, we need to talk to you right now and tell you this good news, probably. So we just gotta wait and see in the third season.
I hope so, but so I think I don't think there's too much else I wanted to dive into. Did y'all have anything else y'all wanted to highlight and stuff before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I think we really touched on everything. Oh, another, like, I guess a great moment was when they finally got the gas to work. Man. And that, like,
gas thing,
they was doing the countdown, and they all was kind of, like, nervous and stuff like that. And then when he finally when he said two, Carby already had his eyes closed, like, yes, we did it. So I thought that was really dope, too. And he was like, congratulations, you got a restaurant. That was, like,
a restaurant. Yep.
That was a powerful moment, too.
Yeah. And I'm... sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I wouldn't have said that.
Okay. Well, I'm about to say, just kind of like looking forward, for season three, cause kind of like looking like the structure of how they've done stuff so far with, you know, the kind of like introductory chaos, everybody trying to figure out each other, get to learn each other and stuff, and then season one ended with a saving grace moment of, hey, we found this money. All right, we can close up the shop and try to fix this situation or whatever. And then season two is them kind of rebuilding and going through the trials and tribulations of everybody training or going on their own personal journeys to get better. And while the restaurant is getting worked on and stuff, whatever, but then the season kind of ending in tragedy, more or less, because, so just seeing like how the season just kind of ended in just, you know, seemingly good, but then everything just bubbling over and, you know, the door handle breaking, the fallout between Carmi and
Claire
and all the other stuff in between. So I'm just hoping like, you know, season three, that maybe we kind of start to see some more positive things come across, whatever. And I personally, I hope, as much as I'm enjoying the show, whatever, I also hope they don't drag things on for super, super, super long, trying to do like 5, 6, 7 seasons.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that they maybe kind of, I don't know. Do y'all feel like they might maybe be able to come up with a storyline to like wrap it up in season three? Or do you think maybe 3 and 4?
I think like now, like the show's gotten like super popular now. Like it's super popular now. So I think I could see this going like 4 seasons or 5.
Tops? Yeah, I was about to say it's gonna go 5, maybe 6. Because they are 30 minute to 45 minute episodes, and every now and then you get an hour joint. With them being 30 minute episodes, they might, you know what I'm saying, stretch it to about 6 seasons, 7 seasons. Because they 30 minutes, you got more time to tell the story.
That's a great point too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't see it going past 5 or 6 though.
Yeah. Like, because because right now the restaurant is just now open.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna deal with them adjusting to the life of like fine dining in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so you'll get that whole season, and Carmi will probably be trying to get back with his girl throughout the whole season.
Marcus
is dealing with his mom, hopefully, in you know, whatever way it is. But then also, what's her name? It's probably Sydney is probably going to be there for him. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be developing. And then the next season will be, not only are they have a great, you know, restaurant, but now, you know what I'm saying, especially with the show becoming more popular, so you have more guest stars and stuff like that.
Yep.
So they'll have like these random people show up and be like top-notch food critics. So I can see that for season 4. And then season 5, maybe wrap it up. So that's what I'm thinking.
And also we have a baby on the way somewhere in the midst of all this too.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Baby on the way. We still got to know about what's going on with Carmi and Sugar's mom. Like, we still got to get the backstory of whatever happened to John Berthold. Like, they still got a lot of stuff that they can still flesh out as far as the storyline.
Yeah.
So and if they are keeping it at 8 to 10 episodes, because, you know what I'm saying, they might mess around and do 12 or 14. But
I hope not, bro. I hope it stays at 10 episodes. Yeah. I feel like that's perfect. That's literally perfect. 10 episodes, 30 minutes, like 45 minutes, an hour maybe. That's perfect.
Specials.
I think that's
But yeah, cool. I definitely think it'll probably go 4 to 5.
Yeah.
It'll probably definitely go 4 to 5. I can see it. It's a lot of story that they got left to tell. And then they might even touch into a backstory on Carmi actually working at the restaurant. Because most of the time we get quick flashbacks.
Joel McHale, bro. That's another thing. He was going crazy, bro. He was talking bad to Carmi. Bruh. I was like, damn, Joel McHale, I've never seen you like this.
But like, they might actually do a whole episode dedicated on to him being maybe an hour long, like they did with
flashback episodes.
Yeah, an hour long flashback episode, like they did with episode 6, where it's just him in the restaurant as a new recruit or as one of the top chefs there, but he just, you know what I'm saying, not, you know, dealing with it. So you can get, they got a lot more story that they can flesh out.
Yeah.
But it's one of them things, like you said, you don't want to stretch it out and it just be too long, excessive.
Yeah, because the thing that kind of made me think about, you know, them kind of hopefully getting to wrap it up as they see fit, because there's another show that I fell in love with last year. Shout out to Ari from Sundari, because she put me onto the show last year. Reservation Dogs.
Mm. Oh, I've heard about that.
Same.
Very good show. I highly recommend it. But that one's about to wrap up with.
I think
it'll be season 3, if I remember.
Season 3?
Correctly.
Okay. And that show,
Go Talk to Mommy.
It's on Hulu as well.
Yeah. 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 That okay. that one's on Hulu as well. But
FX too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
FX, Hulu, same thing.
But so that one, like I said, I think that one's, I think it's season 3, maybe 4, but the point is that they're wrapping it up, whatever, and they're wrapping it up because that's what the writers and creators want to do. So
it's 3, Rob.
This one's coming up as 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be the last season.
Yeah.
I think I like that too, because if you have a story and you already have an idea of what you're doing, don't let somebody else talk you into doing more seasons and then watering down your product.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I do like the fact that, like, okay, they like 3 seasons and that's all we get.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Because once you stretch it out and keep doing it, now you lose that like classic feeling of like this could have been a classic show, but you stretched it to season 8 for no reason or something.
Yeah,
like,
bro, I hate when shows do that.
Yeah, so I'm like, man, like, you definitely, if you already have an idea, wrap that show up and then do your next show. Because if you already knew that you was wrapping it up by season 3, then you probably already have an idea on something else that you wanted to work on.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I'm saying? So
I just do not overstay your welcome. Please don't. I hate when shows do that. So that's perfectly said.
All right, so I guess with that, that'll bring us to the end of this very dope conversation. Like we said up top, if somehow you listen to this whole thing, you still hadn't watched the show, I appreciate you, but please go watch it for yourself, because as much as we dove into different things, whatever, from the show, whatever, there's still much more to see, and it's definitely something that you need to watch and experience yourself, because this is truly one of those dope unexpected gems that, like I said, I am very happy that, you know, came across my eyes on the timeline on Twitter, and that I got to watch, and like I said, I'm glad I got to, you know, have y'all here with me to have this discussion and stuff. But so before we go, I'm gonna let y'all plug if there's anything y'all want to shout out, you know, anything you're working on, your social media, all that stuff, whatever. So I'm gonna start with you, Rob J.
I'm gonna let Steve do the inside the mind of a blur stuff, but hey, be sure to follow us on Twitter and stuff like that. I'm gonna let him plug that. But thanks to Rob again, man, it's always a pleasure being on here, man. Rob and Rob connection is strong, bro. It's strong. Yo, we have to stick. We got to stick together out here in these streets. Yeah. But nah, man. Final thought, bro. The Bear is one of my favorite shows of all time now. It's easily in my top 10. And y'all know I watch a lot of shows. Yeah. And, bro, the Bear is just absolutely incredible. I'm telling all of my friends to watch this show expeditiously. This show is really good. But you can follow me on Twitter at _RobJ, or if there is gonna still be something called Twitter, messing with this man Elon, bro. So you can also find, I'm also a part of an anime podcast called Shogo High. We actually record our pod on Spaces on Twitter. We do it every other Friday, on it this upcoming Friday on the 6th, I believe. Is Friday the 6th or the 5th? The seventh. Yeah, we're gonna be on there, and it's just a great conversation. So if you love anime, tap in with us. We're on all podcast streaming platforms, your Spotify's, Apple Podcasts, whatever. You can follow us on Twitter, on at Shogo High, on Instagram at Shogo High Pod. And yeah, man, this was a really, really dope conversation. I love the bear. I really enjoyed talking about it. And yeah, I'm gonna let Steve talk about all of the things inside the mind of a blurred, and the other things that he's doing, because Steve is the GOAT.
Stop.
And he's famous.
Whoa. Couple thanks there, buddy. Now, like Rob said, thank you, Rob, for letting us, you know, vibe out on here and do these reviews. I look forward to just doing these reviews and stuff like that. I'd say if you want to do a review for Warrior, because season 3 start for that, I'm down to do a review. I don't know if you ever watched Warrior.
I haven't watched that yet. I've been hearing about it a lot lately, so I might have to put it on my list of things to check out.
Hey, it's on HBO Max. The third season is just now starting. Mm. That if you like action and then still got like the good storyline, like the storyline is crazy on there too. Okay. Like I think you would really enjoy that. But anyway, shout out to Inside the Mind of a Blurred. You can follow us at the Blurred Mind Pod on Twitter. I think it's the Blurred Mind Pod as well on Instagram. And
on everything, bro.
We actually have a panel at DreamCon, Cartoons and Cereal.
Nice.
We're going to be doing that. So if you guys want to pull up, well, you know what I'm saying? I really would appreciate it if you guys pull up on Sunday at 1:30 in Warehouse. Something room 3.
Workhouse room 3, room 619.
There you go. You got it. You know, that's why we got Rob, you know. And then I got Wake the Dead and Payback. Those stories are in development. Wake the Dead is live on Webtoons right now. Mm-hmm. The second issue will be dropping probably by August. And then with Payback, I'm just gonna let y'all know. I'm just gonna drop a whole volume instead of doing
the exclusive.
Yeah. So I would just drop the whole volume instead of dropping chapter for chapter, because there's something. There's another big idea I have for Payback going forward. So that's what I think I'm gonna do with that. But yeah, man, y'all can follow me at ScoopSteve1428, and then I'm pretty sure if you find me on there, you can find me anywhere, and then you can look into any of these things that I've been mentioning and talking about. But yeah, man, once again, thank you for having me.
Big facts, bro. Definitely, Rob, I appreciate you. And I also want to say shout out to my homegirl, Alexis. She's actually, like, we watch pretty much all of the shows together. She actually got me to, like, she was like, Rob, you need to watch The Bear. I was like, all right, say less. So I just started. I started it, and I couldn't stop, literally. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but before I do my sign off stuff, I was gonna say, I might have to eventually create a playlist on YouTube that's just Rob and Steve, because we've done
what's this, three?
Yeah,
three. Four?
Whenever it's time for reviews, I'm just gonna hit y'all up. Like, if we do reviews on my shit too, let's just be like, let me hit y'all up.
It's been as maybe 3 or 4, because remember we also did the end of the year thing too, on top of I think Doctor Strange and
Doctor Strange, that's what it was, right? Yes, sir.
And me and you did the Bojack Horseman.
Well, Steve, you are number one as far as like guests and stuff like that, because we've definitely been out here more than everybody, and I think at this point, Rob, you probably in second place now
that
I think about it, because so
sounds good to me.
But so as for myself, y'all know it's your boy Danny's to Talk. You can find me everywhere at Danny's to Talk. Like I mentioned previously, whatever, I've kind of changed up how I've done stuff recently, but definitely look forward to more reviews and discussions both with individual guests on different topics, but as well as different reviews like this, because I have kind of I feel like I'm in the zone right now with some amazing stuff I have been watching over the last few months or whatever. Some stuff I've already got the reviews and stuff posted for, like Silo. I just posted a review for that earlier today when we're recording. But I got other stuff that I'm sitting on that's gonna be coming out weeks, months from now. So like I already reviewed Severance.
Let's go.
Oh, I still gotta watch that too, bro.
That was super dope. Lupin, I watched that a couple weeks ago. Okay. That was super dope. But I'm not dropping that until I think I scheduled that for October, because that's when season 3 is coming. So I'm trying to time that with that. And lots of other stuff. Like I said, I've kind of entered the zone, and I've been watching so much good stuff to where I'm just building up my catalog for stuff to just post just down the road. So I kind of give myself a little bit of a break, so I'm not always scrambling trying to figure out stuff, whatever. So but anyways, thank y'all so much for watching and or listening. And until next time, y'all know I always end my show by saying, treat yourself to something nice, read some manga, watch some anime, TV, and movies, play some video games, and live your best life. And with that, we are out, and we'll catch
later
y'all
days
in the next one. Peace.
God damn, bro. My stomach is beating my ass, bro.